cliffcentral.com. Welcome to the Futurology Show, and I have B2 back with me. Hello, B2.
Hey, everyone.
Good, good. How was your holiday last week? Yes. I'm just starting with
my
you.
My sabbatical from a holiday.
All right, so I am going to digress from the norm. For those that can't see me, which is pretty much everyone because it's radio, I'm wearing my what the fuck shirt because what the fuck happened this morning? There we go, we get a post. But we're already doing live tweets and selfies, huh? Dude. We did call Brexit, okay? I don't know if I'm happy to say or embarrassed to say.
I don't think anybody should listen to us at all.
Yeah, I know, but I kind of called this one as well, which does concern me. Yep. Yeah, so...
See, the Futurology Show, we're not just studying it, we know the future.
We do know the future. But I mean...
Unfortunately, sometimes.
You just made such a great statement. It was like 380 million people.
318 million people.
And we got these two pupils.
And we ended up with those two.
That's ridiculous. Okay, so enough of Trump. And I just have to say, I actually think I did put it on Twitter. Trevor Noah, if you're listening, because I know you love the show, you're going to Joburg or Cape Town, my bud, because he made that statement. He's coming back if Trump wins. And I think Samuel's coming with him on the same flight.
If you haven't seen it yet, Trevor Noah's already done a very proactive approach to Trump the second term. And he's already been like, what life will be like in 2020.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. So you got to go check it out. Trevor Noah on the... On Comedy Central YouTube.
All right. So are you saying that he's decided that fame and fortune in the United States of A is much better than having to say sorry and he's staying?
It's like the beginning of the apocalypse. So he's got this post-apocalyptic report.
All right. Well, we still like Samuel. So Samuel, Joburg or Cape Town, my bud, you tell us where you're coming. And in fact, we're quite happy to do a one-for-one exchange. So we'll send Zuma back there because, I mean, even Trump can't handle that. Oak. Anyway, moving quickly, swiftly along back to the norm. So app of the week. Now, yes. This one's an interesting one. Okay. It's called Charlie app, like Charlie the name.
I use it. Yes.
Okay, so you use it, so
actually,
you know
Gareth
about it.
Put me onto it, which is
really
fantastic.
So Charlie app is, yes. What it basically does is it's artificial intelligence, and it looks at your calendar. So you link your calendar to it, and then any meeting that you have, it looks up the people that you're meeting, and it shares with you like a summary of these people. So it's like their Twitter page, their website, their LinkedIn account, whatever information that they've put into the public space.
Yeah.
I mean, you're nodding, you've used it.
Yeah.
I've only been using it for the last week. Mm. And I must say that I'm really, really impressed. The only thing that's got wrong was actually our guest today.
Right.
It picked up someone else because I just put her first name down. And I didn't put the surname, and it kind of found
sometimes
someone
helpful.
Else,
yeah.
Which I thought was quite amusing. But anyway.
The one that I got, so it gives you... an email before every meeting.
Yes.
And it tells you, so you've got to know about this person. Would you like some more insight? But yesterday, because I was having a meeting with a bunch of my internal guys, and all he came back with was, hey, Brett, hear me out. How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? Is an impossible question because it clearly depends how prepared he was for the woodchucking meeting, right?
Yeah, I've also had some of these little quirky ones, like, you think I'm a super spy.
Yes.
So, really fun app. I'd give it at least
really
a 90%
accurate. Well,
yeah, but when it does bring back the right information, of course, me being me, and I know everyone's Googled themselves, I did put my other email address in to see what happens. Mm-hmm. I'm actually quite a nice guy. I mean, even if I say so myself, I came back really cool.
It's not that intuitive then.
Anyway, I'm actually going to break the rules.
It does say, though, it does point out, though, if a lot of people are using Charlie, you've really got to be careful what you put in the social space.
It does.
Because you will get to know everything about the people you're about to. If you put it out there, Charlie will find it.
Well, that's the thing. So I said I'm going to break the rules. I am going to break the rules because we've been waiting a long time to have this person back on. So I'm actually going to turn Candace's mic on early so that she can partake in our weird and wonderful madness. But we've got Candace Sutherland back with us today. Now,
yay.
Brett and I affectionately refer to Candace as Doctress Doom. I think you might have seen
you,
that
though.
Or heard that. Oh, there's a heart shape that's coming. Your mic's on, so welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone.
Good to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
I know today's going to go pear-shaped quickly. I mean, we were having a little chat off air and the kind of things that you were saying. So I thought, let's turn the mic on, join the conversation. I mean, a threesome's definitely better than the two of us. So you can listen and chirp and comment on all my weird and wonderfuls that I have. I don't know if this is bad news, sad news, or okay news, but Groupon announced that they've shut down. In fact, they have shut down. I think their site actually said, well, honor our coupons, blah, blah, blah. But I'm actually going to look at it from the vendor's side because I've got a mate that's done a Groupon deal before. And they actually rape these guys.
Absolutely.
They really rape the vendors. So you know what? No real sadness from my side. Bye. See you next time you don't come back.
I think so, they did well in the pioneering space that they started. So they led the way for a lot of new types of marketing and consumer engagement.
Sure,
which I
but
think
you know, the thing
wild.
Is it's called a partnership for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, and when you really go and abuse the people that are going to be bringing your money, I don't know, maybe I'm just hating. But the thing is like one of the guys was actually a mate. And he actually said to me, he said, look, I've put a special up at the moment. Don't tell anyone about it kind of thing. Rather tell them to contact me directly and I'll give them like a better rate than that type of, you know.
Yeah.
But his better rate was it was like still less than the 70-odd% that they took.
Yeah.
So ding dong, Groupon's gone.
Yeah. It's a pity though, because Groupon really did their business well. It was easy to use, and some program I used a lot over the last couple of years. But my friend also, she was a photographer and she did a Groupon and they took 50% of every single sale that she made.
I mean, you don't pay commission on that levels.
No, exactly. So it's a question of why the sudden exit? What actually happened? Because nobody's saying that. And it's all of a sudden like, thanks, goodbye. We'll honor our Groupons. Then you get an email, no, we'll refund you. Then you get an apology email that, sorry, we're actually not going to refund you unless you want us to.
Yeah.
But what happened?
Well, Trump needed more money for his campaign.
Exactly.
He probably owned it or something.
$100 million
He had to spend $100 million last night. Yeah.
Where did it start, Groupon?
It's an American company.
American.
Yeah. And I agree with you. The UI, the UX was fine. But you know, when you look at something like Daddy's Deals or the local ones that started to come up, their percentiles were about 30%, which it's steep, but they're marketing, they're doing everything and so on. So lesson learned. You want to be disruptive? Awesome. You want to provide value to consumers? Fantastic, but don't rip the people
off.
Well, we saw that with Domestia. I mean, there was guys that put a really good disruptive business model in place that actually added value on all points.
Correct.
And I think what's starting to happen is that people have woken up to what Groupon was maybe trying to do early days was this marketing venture. So get people to try something that they would not normally have tried.
Yeah.
And to the detriment of, I suppose, the vendor. But now what's happening is you've got guys that are actually acting as clearing agents for guys holding lots of stock. So you get your one-day onlys and you take lots of the same.
Yep.
Here's a time-based sale. Let's go. It's helping the vendor and the warehousing to clear stock at a good price and also making sure that there's awareness. So we had to go through the head bump to realize the
dunk. Where let's we go. Do it. There we go.
And mine's the only mic that works.
Right. So there we are. We've been there, done that. Okay. VR. I am so loving what's happening in virtual reality at the moment. In fact, now there's a new phrase. We've got to start referring
Shakara.
To mixed. No, mixed reality.
Yes.
Because now we're getting this whole integration of AR, VR, and then obviously whatever traditional touch points. In fact, when I was chatting to Aria last week from Oz, he's quite involved in the startup scene, and he was telling me some stuff offline as well, where we're going with this space. And we caught this as well, Brett. This wasn't a marketing shtick. I mean, VR, everyone's investing in it. I mean, Candace is nodding your head, you're nodding your head. I love it. The one that I came across for this week, which I thought was fantastic, is in Beijing. They've done a whole VR experience that lets the viewers explore the dig at, I can't even pronounce it, Jing Zhen Zhen, I don't know. But it's basically a site where all the porcelain soldiers and all that kind of stuff was found. So you weren't allowed, as a visitor, you weren't allowed to get close, you know, to the exhibit. Now they've basically put you into the exhibit. You can walk around it. You can, I say touch, but obviously you know what I mean. But you actually become part of the exhibit. So things like that is where VR really comes into its own. Even more important is people that are invalid or can't travel, okay, they can't experience the world anymore. Why not? Now they can.
Exactly.
You know, and we're getting scent and we're getting all kinds of weird stuff that are coming out of it. So that was my like really cool find for the week. And then I have to go to the macabre. Okay, so as soon as I say Japan, you kind of know we're already going like to weird and wonderful. So they are infamous for their weirdness.
Hentai fluff films. I'm waiting to see where this is going to go.
No. I mean, okay. So, I mean, for those people that think I'm bashing Japan unnecessarily, these actually have vending machines for the weirdest and wonderful things. I mean, you can walk down roads of vending machines. They invent pillows that hug you. They really have some weird stuff. They have some awesome stuff. Okay. So this is not a knock. This is just a carrying on along. They have come up with virtual eating. Okay. So, anorexics and bulimics of the world unite. But other than them, my question, again, with my T-shirt, why? So their argument is, I'm actually going to read the release. In a further advance for virtual eating, okay, let's just stop there. A further advance in virtual eating. They're not the first people to start this thing, okay? A team from the University of Tokyo has developed a device that approximates the experience of chewing food of different textures. The device uses electrodes placed on the subject's masseter muscle, which is the jaw. That's where you masticate, Kate.
Kate.
And it uses haptic feedback to vary the sensations of chewiness, hardness, or softness.
Sounds boring.
The team has far had the most success at replicating the feel of chewing gummy candy.
Only we could just chew candy.
For real.
Hold on a second. Could you imagine that? Imagine putting a piece of candy in your mouth and chewing. Have you ever? I mean, they have a university grant for this shit.
Virtual mastication techniques based on digital innovation. Price, $20,000 bazillion. One piece of candy, 50 cents. But go for it, guys.
No, but hold on a second. Just the question. Why?
Yeah.
If I gave that to you as a topic of
debate. No dentist bills.
But you'd starve to death.
Yeah.
What are you having for supper tonight? Is it virtual, Mum? Yes. Oh, well, then I'll have prawns.
Anything.
I think they're missing the point, though. The whole
no,
the
they're
whole,
not. The Apparently, whole, they got the points on your tongue.
The whole reason for eating is not the tactile motion of eating. It's sustaining our body.
Exactly.
Singularity has not yet happened.
That's why I had to actually paraphrase and quote that, because I couldn't make this stuff up.
We need these meat vehicles we call bodies to keep us going.
Yeah, surprise.
Yeah. So I'm going to stay with the weird, and I'm going into IoT, okay? Cows that will text you when they're on heat. This is not a Japanese invention.
Okay,
I'm just putting it out there. All right, so
that is awesome.
Apparently, there's like
now something we can really use.
Can you imagine the vegans at this moment in time? You're not a vegan, are you?
No.
Okay,
I'm a carnivore.
Good for you. That's why we have the T-shape we do. Just by the way, vegans. But can you imagine? Like you're sitting at, we're sitting here, right? Okay, I own a dairy farm. I'm busy, and my phone goes. I pick it up. Oh, cool! My cow's on heat. Quickly get the bull over there. I mean,
and when they're not in heat, what other messages are we
going to
get? Those corny dad jokes, like why don't cows wear sandals?
I'm so glad you asked that question. I asked the same question. Oh no! Oh, and we went there. Okay, I'm so glad you asked.
That was a good one, though.
That was a good one, actually. Yeah. It's probably the keenest joke I actually know.
If we had to
combine
Charlie and this mad cow texting message service,
that could be quite cool.
Yeah.
So apparently. Other people have asked that same question as well. It will start to tell you about the health of the stomach. It'll start to tell you about
which stomach?
The cow.
All eight of them.
Right. Yeah,
four.
All of them.
That's right. The heart rate.
Informed me, this guy.
There we go, huh? You're right. You're chewing the gun, eh? So the thing is, though, like at first I thought, why? But it does make sense. If you can prevent any diseases or health or issues that might cause like other things that could affect us.
Yeah.
Not a bad thing, but I saw the size of this thing that they put in the car. It's not small. Okay. I didn't actually care on reading the article to see how it gets
in,
but it goes in somewhere.
Wow.
Somehow it's there. Okay. But it's just weird because like last week, I think, or the week before we were talking about IoT, we're talking about how they put the copper coils around the grapevines so they could check for water. Brilliant. Maybe this is not so stupid. You know, maybe it helps them plan. Like the cow's coming heat. It's not going to milk today. We're going to take it out to the farm. The bull's going to be happy. You know, bachelor party. I don't know.
I can't resist. But on the other hand.
On the other hand, Darren. Oh, that's another show.
On the other hand, we've got to look at tech for the sake of tech. You can't just put, I don't want a connected cow.
But yeah.
Just call me old fashioned. But like.
You said that the other week. Don't start inventing.
What are
like
the
solutions for the hardware? Or
start
hardware
with the objective.
Yeah.
Simon Sinek.
Yeah.
Start with the why.
Why?
I mean, you shared that with me ages ago. But like, start with the why. What the hell's the point of a connected cow? It's on heat. You inseminate this thing artificially anyway. What difference does it make whether it's horny or not?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay. So, well, mind you.
You brought this up. I'm just going to say.
It could be something that Hillary might want to get invested
sure,
in. We can let her know when she's on heat again.
And we can check those emails. That'll
I have to bring AR back to the discussion. And unfortunately, tearing scabs, my bad. We've left it alone for ages. But I'm kind of going back to Pokemon.
That's okay.
But that's where I'm leaving it for 1 second.
We can actually talk a little bit about Stickies 2
okay, hold
as
on a
well.
Second. Hold on. Oh, jeez. Like,
well, we're at it. Kay's the Pokemon remake, Stickies 2.
No. Okay, who likes Harry Potter here?
How are you?
Okay, I'm so glad to hear that because I also can't stand it. You're both shaking your heads.
Yeah.
But Harry Potter, there is a bidding war at the moment between Niantic and someone else to make the Pokemon Go version of Harry Potter. So you can now go around finding wizards and shit. Yeah, you've got Stickies 2 on your thing. Cade's already got his first collection.
More for research
and he's so proud to tell everyone that school he's the first in school. I'm the brokest in school. That's all that the parents are saying. Okay, just see the kids going home. Cade's
I shop at Woolworths, okay?
Yeah. Oh no, you gotta go to Checkers now and actually buy the damn things. They got
you gotta go
Stickies.
To Checkers and buy Stickies.
They're not called Stickies, they're called Stuckies or something. Haven't you seen that? You got a kid, you'll find out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, Harry Potter 2 will be coming to an AR Pokemon Go style screen.
So you can capture all those imaginary creatures that aren't so imaginary.
I tell you what, that woman is just printing cash. Eh? I mean, it's just, it's ludicrous. I know she's making a VR play as well, but it is absolutely ludicrous. Anyway.
So just a question on that.
Yes.
That's going to lend itself to Candace weighing in here, but there's all these supposedly cool VR and digital opportunities that kind of suck people in. My parents are great for this. And if you guys are listening, you have to stop doing everything Facebook tells you to do. When it comes up and says, this is the make a memory of all the photos you've ever used, and it's a third party inside Facebook, and it's saying, do this, and it's a great thing. Yes, there's, against my own sort of philosophy of engaging value, there's value at all points, but to what extent? Now I'm going to start using these things. You're going to track me. I know all these things. Again, people are not aware of what they're doing when they get
exactly,
told to
right.
do it.
Yeah, so if you take these stupid things on Facebook, like...
Please carry on there, Ken, because I know where you're going with this and like, everyone here.
What is your porn star name? What is your Christmas elf name? Yeah. All of these ridiculous things that you have to put your full name, sometimes your ID number, sometimes...
Find out your mood.
Exactly, exactly. Who is your best friend on Facebook? But what you're actually doing is giving those people your personal information, which... is not, you know, what they'll do with it is not for the right intention. Mm. So if I'm saying my mother's maiden name is X, my dog's name is Y, my name is this, my year of birth, etc., and thinking about passwords and what we use as passwords, it's your husband's name, your wife's name, your dog's name, your children's name, your mother's maiden name.
Or just 123.
Exactly.
Spaceballs.
Exactly.
What is your PIN code?
Exactly.
But I'm so glad, and I'm glad, and that's why I wanted Candace as my con like earlier, because it's that time of the year. So the Christmas elf is coming out. What do you want from Santa? What was your favorite childhood Christmas? All these things, they are mining our data.
Exactly.
And they are going
to
hack you with
it. Them freely.
You know, don't just sign up for third-party software on your device the same way you would just vote for someone to be your president. You need to understand consequences for not reading the information.
Rather sign up for third-party software than vote for that.
You may have actually inadvertently voted for your president by doing that. So read the fine print, people.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, yeah, I think the world's going to reel from this. I mean, let's just be honest.
It's going to be awesome.
It is actually
going to
be
so much opportunity
and
chaos.
Someone said on Facebook yesterday, going to get to watch the final episode of the show tonight called America.
America.
And you know what? It has been an entertaining ride the last, nearly a year, huh?
Yeah.
But I don't think it's over by a long shot. I mean, and they kept the House as well. So they have the Republicans in the Senate and they have a Republican. Ooh, whoop.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving swiftly along to a non-Republican.
America.
Which is... a very interesting play. I'd love your thoughts on why they would have done this, or more importantly, why Apple allowed this. But Facebook is bringing their ad network to Apple TV and to Roku. Why would Apple open up to Facebook? That's the first question. Because within all those, you know, if you've got an Apple TV, guys, if you don't have an Apple TV, get one. But if you do have one, you'll know that there's millions of apps and you can subscribe to like over 1,000 different channels. Those channels are at the moment are paid. Now, the only thing I can think of is they're going to make a play for the freemium space. So they'll have ads running through your content for $6 or no ads, like what Hulu did for $8 or whatever the numbers were. But why Facebook? You know, does that give them data? Does that give them analytics that they're sharing? What's your thought on it?
You can go first.
Okay. I see silence on the radio.
Yeah. So there was an interesting study that came out recently. It's saying that 85 million accounts on Facebook are either fictitious accounts or ghost accounts.
That many?
Yeah. What they mean by ghost accounts is that I'm trying to figure out Facebook. I sign up and I use my work email address. Can't figure it out. So I just abandon that account. And 3 months later, try again on my personal email accounts and create a new Facebook. The problem with that abandoned account is that Nobody's monitoring it. Nobody's checking it. So any person can take that account as me with my name, my credentials, potentially a photo of me and impersonate me 100%. So, I mean, you ask the question, why Facebook? Why not Facebook?
Right? Yeah.
I mean, majority of the world is on Facebook. And with those abandoned accounts comes the whole cybercrime. But I think we'll get into that in a second. Over to you, Brett.
Oh, he's still going to plead the fifth on this one. But I tell you what, I don't need to over debate it, but that the point that you've made now, when I worked in an agency before I am at the moment that was totally digital centric, we had to create a Facebook account so that we could do testing of the stuff we built for clients. Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But all those accounts are linked to some form of real tangible thing, like an email address or phone.
Exactly.
So I left the company. I never closed down that account. It's still there.
Exactly.
Does that give them a cleanup option? Or more importantly, does Apple actually get to learn? Because if you go into Facebook and say, wow, did you watch America last night? Because I promise you the show is coming.
Yeah.
Or Trumpville or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Or move to Canada because our site has crashed.
Oh, did you see that?
That was amazing. The immigration site pulled over.
Now, hold on a second. Let's just show how fickle Americans are. They always go, oh, they're from Canada, or they're in Canada, or Canada. They're always finding a negative to Canada, but yet they're all trying to run there really quickly.
Exactly.
Why not Mexico? Oh, wait, the wall will be put up.
Yeah.
So they can't get back. But it's just, I just thought it was quite interesting because Facebook and Apple didn't seem like the natural fit. Yeah. You know, there probably were other plays that they could have gone with. But you just said it's the biggest. Mm. I mean, they are the biggest.
Yeah.
And I suppose they can't really go with Google because of Android. So anyway, last point on Apple. What browser do you use, Brett, on your Mac?
Safari and Chrome.
Safari and Chrome. And you? Chrome.
Some banks are you on a Mac, insisted then? I use Firefox.
Okay, so I'm on a Mac and I was using Chrome up until last week. I've now actually closed Chrome down. I love Chrome. Okay, I think Chrome's fantastic, but Chrome hates Apple.
Okay.
It killed my – I couldn't figure out why my machine was running so slow. I went and put third-party apps that were in the App Store to, like, clean my Mac. I tried all kinds of things, and it just a simple little search on Google, and I just actually thought about Chrome because I have multiple tabs. In fact, we were talking about Toby. That's what made me think about it. Ever since I put Toby on – do you know what Toby is, Candace?
No.
So Toby's a tab on Chrome
that
lets you hold, like, hundreds of tabs in it.
Oh, wow.
So you can go back into them at any time you want to open and close. Okay. It's fantastic. And since Toby was on, my machine really ran slow. And I've actually found it now on all the Mac blogs, on everything that I could find. Chrome is a MacBook killer. It absolutely destroys the speed of a Mac.
Mm-hmm. So do you use?
I've now been using Safari, which I must say I don't like. But I do like the fact that my battery doesn't die in 3 hours, and I like the fact that my machine actually runs like it's supposed to, fast. Because I was actually going to put a Windows stick on my Mac. It was just like really, it was really running coke slow.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
A little hamster wheel on the side just to make
it. Yeah. Anyway, before we really get into like cyber and all these cool things, my last little beautiful thing. Do you remember Billy the Bass? That fish that was on the wall?
Don't worry, be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... an artist, obviously in America, has actually put an Amazon Alexa, the Alexa voice service into Billy the Bass. So now you can actually, South Africans don't really know the Alexa voice system. It's not available here. I've actually just written an article on a device called the Tribby that is the first non-Amazon product to use Alexa. And I've kind of tweaked it so that it thinks it's in America so I can use the voice. It's like Siri and anything else. You just go Alexa, pause, and talk. In fact, we were talking about Mr. Robot. Mm. She uses Alexa in the show all the time.
Yes.
So now you've got Alexa and you can actually start talking to it. So you can get it. So you can have this bass flapping, not just singing, saying, the weather in New York is hot.
Oh my God, Trump is president.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you go, Alexa, Alexa, who's the president of the United States? And it just keeps quiet. I believe in the fifth. So I just thought, but again,
Error.
It's Internet of Things. It's using voice control in what something that people that still have them, if they're either cash converters or they're lying on a shelf somewhere in your garage. You know that people are going to start bringing these things out, and or Barbie dolls or whatever are going to all start having. So this whole voice control play. Anywho, because we're in Canada now,
A boat. Tell us about something. In a boat.
Well, now we really are going to start talking about Candace's expertise. And before we kick it off, Candace, you kind of confirmed something for me, but also shocked me when we were standing outside. So Brett, while we were waiting for you to arrive, because you're never late, never. We were having a chat.
I arrive exactly when I mean to.
Exactly. It's actually quite
the same rule for wizards applies to philosophers as well.
There we go. Zing. Candace said to me she couldn't get signal on her phone. I said, why don't you just join the Wi-Fi? And I got this shake of the head no, like I'd actually just asked if I could like use her pet or a toothbrush or something.
Exactly.
Okay. It was like, it was that same type of look of disgust. You know, can I use a toothbrush? Like, really? So please explain your vehement anti-public Wi-Fi usage.
Perfect. So let's play it in a hypothetical situation. We are having a meeting at a Mug and Bean, a KFC, McDonald's, regardless. Doesn't matter what place it is. And we join that public Wi-Fi. And while we're having coffee, we're chatting. There are numerous other people in that vicinity, obviously, that are also on that network. And those people could be child pornography ringleaders, Bitcoin thieves. It could be anything. That's
exactly what I think every time I go for coffee.
Exactly.
I'm surrounded by your...
It's amazing how you can't just think of, like, it could have been Jehovah's Witnesses or someone
anything.
It goes straight to child porn.
It could be Trump supporters. You never know.
Let's go back to child porn.
Exactly.
Sounds like there's a good chance of that.
Yeah. So now we're all connected on the same network. So invariably that network doesn't have security, because when you're sitting in a coffee shop, their principal line of business is not security.
It has a password that you ask the waiter for.
Invariably it doesn't, though.
Okay.
Invariably it doesn't. Or it would be something silly like November 16 or Mug 01.
Or it's complimentary, in which case everybody has
exactly,
it.
Exactly. So now we are sitting on the same network as numerous other people that don't have good intentions, or you join a hotel Wi-Fi. Now take a hotel that has 100 rooms.
That's actually a good focus point. I mean, besides the little mom and pop shops, let's go to the hotels, because that's like an infestation of many multiple people in and out.
So 365 days a year, 100 rooms, there's a new person in the room every single night. You have no idea who those people are and what they're doing and where they're coming from, et cetera, et cetera. So now we're on the same network, and whatever happens to be on my device, which could be ransomware, crypto locker, spyware, that sort of thing, could easily be transmitted to your device and any other device connected to that, just because we're on the same Wi-Fi network. It's similar as Bluetooth. If you have your Bluetooth on right now and I have spyware on my machine, I can transmit it to you via your Bluetooth. There's no notification, there's no alarm bells going off saying you have a virus. And if you actually do get that notification, chances are it's someone just trying to fish information. So Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, hotel Wi-Fi, public Wi-Fi is very dangerous, because you have no idea who else is on that network and what their intentions are. So they can easily access your information.
I need to stop you there for a second.
Go for it.
And again, affectionately, Doctoress Doom.
Yes.
Okay, that title's earned and you need to own it, because it's a great title.
We definitely need to get a dun-dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun. Oh, this is coming from you. I'm still waiting for the jingle that you're talking about. Okay.
Good thing take time with crafting.
We're not killing the technology here, right? We're not basically going out there going, whatever you do, do not use Bluetooth, do not use Wi-Fi.
Absolutely.
I mean, let's just put that out there. They're great technologies.
Absolutely.
But it's like having a condom. You kind of use it because you want to be safe.
Okay.
The hotel industry can't afford to not have Wi-Fi. And let's be honest, I choose my hotels based on Wi-Fi.
Yes.
I've actually always said that. The first thing I look at is Wi-Fi. Then I look at
the Bangladeshi Formula One's got 100 meg line. You're going to go.
I have stayed in a couple of those before. Is there rules of thumbs on how to protect it? Or are you basically saying no to public Wi-Fi? Because you said no just now.
Yeah.
And we're all friends here.
Absolutely. I'm saying no. Okay.
Okay. So you are killing Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. Okay.
Sorry.
No. It's your show. You tell us.
But if you look at a service like Always On. So if I'm on a service of Always On and something goes wrong, and a couple of months down the line after computer forensics, they can trace it back to the interception happening on that line. I have a right of recourse. I go to Always On and say, when I was using your service on this day at this specific place, somehow malware got into my machine, ransomware, crypto locker, spyware, etc. So I need you to help me. So I have a much better chance of actually coming right with Always On versus KFC, for example, hypothetical situation.
That's why you have a condom. You can always come right with Always On.
Exactly.
If it's Always On, then KFC.
Then you
come on,
right.
That was good. That was quick. I mean,
well done.
There we go. Right. Okay. I knew we were getting there eventually.
So it's I'm not saying don't ever use public Wi-Fi, but use a reputable service like Always On or a service similar to that. Just going to a fast food place and connecting to their Wi-Fi network where it's unlimited. It's not a case of, okay, you get 100 megs free, you know, for today as an initial sign up kind of thing. And then you physically have to put in your details. I'm talking about the place where you can go and sit for 8 hours,
yeah,
surf porn, look at whatever you want, access the dark web while 10 other people are on the same network. Those are the ones that I would stay away from.
See, I think that's a valid point. As you say, if you go to a, when you go to a little shop and they're offering Wi-Fi,
yeah,
and you're not going through some form of gateway like an Always On or a G-Connect or whatever, the guy sitting in the back could be running a kid's porn
ring,
which means that those viruses are going to run through the entire network.
Exactly.
And am I right in saying that whether it's Wi-Fi or fixed line, the threats are the same via a network if you don't know the network?
Exactly.
Does VPN stop that or limit it?
It helps.
Or?
It definitely helps. The we need to look at the wider picture, right? So let's say I am in one of those shops and I connect to the Wi-Fi. I connect to the Wi-Fi and then I go back to my office, right? My Hollard office has 3,000 people in one building. I then happen to join the Hollard public, the Hollard Wi-Fi network. So whoever's on that network has whatever's on my device is also on that network. So that network doesn't necessarily access our work information. But
you
then
think?
It shouldn't, right?
There,
there should be segregation. and in Hollard there is, but we're just talking generally now. So then I plug my cell phone, my cell phone's dying. So I plug it via the USB into my laptop, which happens to be connected to our actual physical network. So whatever's on my phone is now on my laptop. And surprise, surprise, it's plugged into the network. So that means every laptop, every desktop, every photocopier, anything connected on that network, including our PABX and our phones, has that on. So I may not be the target, but how to get into a company, send somebody something on Wi-Fi
it's
because
like
they happen
contagion.
To be in a restaurant. Exactly.
It's awful.
Exactly. And that's how quickly it spreads.
Sure. Okay, so I'm like, I'm just thinking about
I always leave these shows with Candace being so warm and fuzzy.
You know, I'm thinking about my last 72
my Wi-Fi
hours
you're welcome,
when I wasn't
welcome.
In the office and I was sitting at X and I connected and then I
and
turned
sorry.
My Bluetooth on to get that free coupon for
yes,
the R1 off, you know.
Exactly.
No, I didn't do that. But, you know, I also want to carry on like with this plug-and-play environment, the USB.
Mm.
Okay. I pull my hair out when clients won't let me stick a USB into their computers. I've worked on this file. I've got this presentation. I cannot put it onto their machine.
Yeah.
They can't take Dropbox. They can't take file Hoy or whatever.
Or
we transfer.
Yeah.
Is that a good principle that
yes,
IT director is?
Absolutely, absolutely. So most of the banks, if you actually put in a device into the USB, it will destroy that device, which is good security because that means staff members can't actually steal information off without emailing it, and then obviously there's a track of that. But also they can't put funnies on the system. So it is a good security policy to have that you can't use your USB. The thing is, okay, let's say I'm coming to do a presentation here at Cliff Central Futurology. So I have a couple of slides and I bring my memory stick and I say I'm not going to lag my laptop around, it's a pain in the butt, so I'm scared it gets stolen while it's, you know, I'm driving back to the office, etc., etc. And I plug that memory stick into your laptop. So whatever's on my device, which could be anything, because I may be an avid follower of a couple of sites on the dark web, and it has malware on, it has ransomware, etc. Whatever's on that memory stick is now on your machine. But you don't know that it's on your machine. You then go home, you join your Wi-Fi, it's on your wife's machine. It's on your children's devices, and it's invariably spying.
I have to stop you for 1 second.
Go.
Cade, if you are listening, boy, which you should be, listen carefully.
Listen carefully.
I mean, this little monster hacked Pokemon Go the other day.
Really?
Awesome.
Yeah, at 10 years old.
Way to go.
I also said, well done. And then like, don't take it down
at the core.
But I did also explain to him the risks of doing that because to do it, he had to go through a couple of steps.
Yeah.
And you're basically outlining those steps now. You're opening up a gateway. And then my wife was like,
you didn't even need a Wi-Fi to convict your child of
No, but this is the thing. Like Gail was saying to me, but it's on my device. I'm like, yes, but your device is on my network.
Exactly.
So that's my TV, my phone, my computer. And then I go to work
your
and I spread
it. Your home security system could be connected to your phone.
I might as well rather use my toothbrush.
Exactly.
It's like less virus.
I'm going back to an office with a brand new Wi-Fi security system.
Yes.
Because it's changing as we speak.
Yeah.
So how do you, okay, we can't disconnect. That's not an option.
Absolutely.
It's not an option.
Yeah.
Okay. And these assholes are always going to be out there trying to do everything in their power to come after us.
Yeah.
So is there like a step-by-step one-on-one what you do? What are the checkpoints to make sure, sure. we don't just lift our skirts?
Sure. So in terms of mobile devices, so I'm talking PDAs.
And I think that's where most of us are.
Yeah, exactly. If I happen to pick up your cell phone right now, do you have a code to get into that?
And a fingerprint.
Okay. If that code is 1234777 or your date of birth, don't bother.
I told you that offline.
Okay.
I mean, really?
Really? Can you believe it?
No, but it's not. And I have a fingerprint.
Good. So, I mean, biometrics is very easy, very, very easy to actually manipulate.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I mean, in under 24 hours... In under 24 hours, Apple's biometric was intercepted and you could override it. So if you know SnapScan, if you go and you take a photo of the SnapScan and you can pay, if you are properly trained, you can actually decipher that code just by looking at it. So you would have to go through a training process to see how the code works. But by looking at that code, you would be able to decipher it. Not the average man on the street, not you, not me.
But it's not the average man on the street that we're worried about.
Exactly.
It's the unaverage man or over-average man or woman. That's
and
actually
understand,
doing it.
Yeah, that someone will try and rob you for R1 because R1 from 10,000 people is far easier than R10,000 from one person.
But it's also the trophy, isn't it, Candace?
Exactly.
These guys get off on this stuff. It's like, I hacked the FBI.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't, guys, if you're listening. I'm saying hypothetically.
Actually, those are the people that we don't, like script kiddies, we don't actually have to be concerned about those people because what's the point of taking down Barack Obama unless everybody knows it's me? You know, so these cowboys that often publicize what they've done, you know, invariably they do get caught because they are, you know, inexperienced and they're doing it for the publicity. It's the people who are running multi operations from, you know, a little apartment, which happens to be in your complex or in your street, that are robbing people blind.
Yeah.
Those are the people and the ones that don't advertise it. So Anonymous is very good. You know, if Anonymous says we are taking down the ANC, you know they've already done it.
They've done it.
Yeah.
They don't brag. They
exactly.
Actually, they report.
Exactly. But who is Anonymous?
Yeah.
Who is the impact team? Who are these people, these faceless criminals that ping IP addresses all
Brett,
around the world?
Did you notice that mask starting to appear when she started speaking?
See the moustache and the... It's in the bit. So those are the people we really have to... It's not the cowboys. It's not the people bragging about what they can do. Those are not the people we need to be concerned about because invariably they will get caught. It's the people who can look at a QR code and decipher it in a couple of seconds. It's the people who... And how we protect ourselves is walking around with cell phones that don't have any sort of security. So number one, you don't have a lock. So I can pick up your phone and access all of your information, including your work information, because you get your work emails there. And you just happen to be somebody in the medical field, so I can access sensitive medical information. So antivirus is another big one. Put antivirus on your cell phone, on every single person that
Even
you walk past. Absolutely. 82% of mobile vulnerabilities that happened last year were on an iPhone or an iPad. 13% on an Android and 1% on a CrapBerry because nobody uses it. Let's be honest. Don't lie.
I do.
You have a BlackBerry.
I own a BlackBerry. I love it.
Shame.
Yeah.
No, I love my BlackBerry, and it's probably the most secure device out there anyway.
Yeah, so taking into consideration.
Because there's only one of you.
Exactly, you're the only one.
No, Samsung's Knox software is built on BlackBerries.
This is already too much time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next.
Anyway, so put a passcode on. Don't make it something obvious like your date of birth, 1234777,
and everyone does that.
They all do it.
I mean,
What's the point?
I know people. I'm just going to say it like that. When I pick up their phone, I don't even have to ask them.
Exactly.
I know it's the four digits of the year.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
It's mad.
Yeah. And then put antivirus on and be careful of joining Wi-Fi networks. I mean, if I'm trying to guess your password, right? So I look at your Facebook account. I don't have to be your friend, but what I'm going to try is husband's name, wife's name, dog's name, children's name, date of birth, or your mother's maiden name, or the street that you grew up in. And I cannot believe how many people
give that information
out.
Password.
Exactly.
The password is password.
The password is
the default on a modem. Let's start there, modem manufacturers, all and sundry.
Exactly.
No more admin.
Exactly.
And password.
Exactly.
I mean, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
But I took advantage of that fact when my internet ran out.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I had a similar situation. Yeah. I had a little Wi-Fi dongle that literally you had to have an aeronautical degree to change the password, which was set to admin. In my complex, I could pick up the exact one and just put in the password of admin. Yeah. And then I would be in.
Okay. So well, you admitted I did too. I did as well.
Yeah.
Mine went off. I look for other ones that are around me, knowing full and well that the brand of modem is, starts with the letters.
Yes.
That all these people have just put them in because we moved on to fiber.
Yeah.
Did I say I have fiber, Brett? So we moved on to fiber.
That effort.
And mine stopped working.
Yeah.
Access theirs, went to the portal and changed theirs to mine.
Exactly.
Which was fantastic.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And then what would you...
Just a story, by the way.
Yeah. Hypothetical. That's all we talk about here. Yeah.
Yes.
So how do you protect yourself is, you know, you really... Be careful about giving your information out. I see people who, you know, are recently qualified CAs, and my sister and my dad are CAs, so I'm mixed in that circle a bit, and recently qualified ones, and then they'll qualify for an Investec bank account, and it's like, rah, rah, look at me, and let me take a photo of my Investec bank card and post it on Facebook.
Really?
Absolutely. Or I'm going to America. Here's a photo of my visa in my passport. Look at me, I'm going to America in 3 days. Can't wait, so exciting. Mm. And they'll post a picture of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, posting a picture of your home address with the street name in. Yeah. Oh, what is a security question? What house did you grow up in?
Well, I had a friend who posted his daughter's UK citizenship paper on Facebook. I was like, bro, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah. You know, it's
like,
very easy
proud,
for us to
sit
here.
Like,
exactly.
It's easy to
give
sit here and say this, though, but
up.
Everyone does it.
Everyone does it.
I've probably done stupid things like that. In fact, I can tell you now that I have taken a picture of one of my own credit cards, not to publish it.
Yes.
So when I'm doing online shopping, if I don't have my wallet on me and it's in the car or it's in the next room, I'm too lazy to go and find it.
Yeah.
I have a picture. I've remembered the CVV number in my head. That's not written down anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not that stupid.
Yeah.
But they've only got 3 digits to go to be
exactly.
right.
Exactly.
I've given them like 95% of the equation.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So let's chat about a hack that happened in 2012. So disgruntled employee. Yeah.
Okay.
It's been going on for years, since the beginning of time. A disgruntled employee put a virus on point of sale devices. So what it would do when you swiped your credit card is that it would go through, the payment would actually physically go through, but then it would build a backup server essentially that would tell him this is the credit card number, this is the code that they put in, and then he would empty those people's accounts.
Holy crap.
By putting your photo on Facebook or WhatsApp or social media.
It was just
media.
It was in my photo locker.
Okay.
But if I steal your phone? Sure, then you'll get... Well,
if I steal your phone?
As long as you know my birth year. I mean, I didn't say that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they're the tricky part. So let's talk about extortion for a second, because this is quite an exciting topic, right?
Yes.
So,
is this where ransomware and all that kind of falls in, which is huge at the moment?
So even a step back from ransomware, let's say I know somebody in a medical field, right? So I am targeting a specific individual of a really big corporation in South Africa. So I access the data dump, which is on the dark web of Ashley Madison, find out, ooh la la, they actually are a member of that. I can get credentials from there as well. And then I happen to know somebody that works in a medical office and I can access those files as well. And let's say, you know, their 15-year-old daughter had an abortion last year, or they were treated for syphilis, and they happen to be a really influential person in their company. What I can do by having access to that information is say, Mr. X, if you don't pay me whatever amount in Bitcoin, and Bitcoin obviously would be the logical choice due to, you know, the untraceable nature of Bitcoin. I wouldn't ask them to do an EFT to my Standard Bank account. That would be silly. And I would say...
And here's a picture of me.
Exactly. I would say to them, if you don't pay me this amount, I am going to tell your church, tell your wife, tell your shareholders, tell your company that you were treated for syphilis, you know, 6 months ago, or your 15-year-old daughter had an abortion, or you have some sort of really bizarre complication, etc. So people keep medical information, you know, very private, because it is private. So extortion is huge. Then without...
Can I stop you there for a second? I mean, that's been since the dawn of time. Mm. We've just made it easier.
Mm.
What's your view on the Discovery ID system then? You know, that health ID where you share your information along the network of doctors.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the thing. Is it safer to ask Dr. Google or a real doctor? Because this is what people do. They ask Dr. Google and self-diagnose, and obviously you're dying. You're obviously going to have cancer and you're dying every single time you ask Google. So it's a great idea, you know, to rather ask a doctor, but sending any sort of personal information, and then even worse than personal information, is credit card and medical. So medical records are the number one records that are stolen around the world. Medical first, then credit card, and then only
really,
personal.
Yeah.
So sure. because of the extortive nature of it. So it's great, but then, you know, for me to say, oh, I have a rash on a funny place, you know, is almost okay, as opposed to disclosing real sensitive medical information. You know, so the world is becoming so lazy that we don't even go to the doctor. We would rather ask them via WhatsApp or via an email and say, send photos saying this is what my rash looks like.
I've got my doctor on WhatsApp. So.
Google chondriac. Have you heard of that?
Exactly. Ask Dr. Google. Guess what? You're dying. Every single time. If you have a headache, you're going to die. Definitely. It's definitely a brain tumor. So, I mean, I think if you're a parent and you have children, you know, it's much easier to ask your pediatrician, look, this is what's happening, temperatures like this, this is how the baby's acting, instead of going to the doctor every time, great. But I mean, for adults, you know, go to the doctor. If you're not feeling well, go to the doctor. You know, sending medical information is very risky.
Look, I must be honest, a lot of the doctors don't. They say, look, it could be this.
Exactly.
Come in. You mentioned Bitcoin. That's something I wanted to chat about today specifically. So I was quite excited when you were coming on. Is it untraceable? So, in your opinion, I mean, is it totally untraceable?
It's very, very it's not 100% untraceable, but it's very, very difficult. So how I buy Bitcoin is I go on Google, on Chrome, Firefox, Explorer, and I type in buy Bitcoin. It'll show me which Bitcoin wallet to purchase in South Africa, and I use my PayPal account, my credit card, etc. Then what I would use...
Do you have Bitcoins?
No.
No.
Okay. Yeah. And there are, Bitobuy accepts Bitcoin as payment. Yeah. There's a firm in Sanson, and a lawyer's firm that accepts Bitcoin as payment. So it's a perfectly legal tender.
What are they called? Lancet Laboratories.
Yes.
You can pay via Bitcoin on their remittance device.
Exactly. So it's a perfectly legal form of tender. The problem is that it's not controlled by anyone.
Yeah.
So who owns Bitcoin? Yes, it was created by someone in Japan, et cetera, but who actually controls and maintains it? So let's say I happen to lose my Bitcoin wallet password. There is nobody to help me. Yeah. Or somebody steals my Bitcoin, and it happened to a bank in Finland. I think they had 8,000 Bitcoin and they were stolen. They had to shut down. Okay, a virtual bank.
Right.
Anyway, I want to see what today's exchange rate is. But the thing is, when using it on the dark web or for illicit activities, so when I make that transfer to Brett, we're not going to say which one.
There we go. We're covered.
Yeah. Then there's no actual physical transaction. So I don't get a bank statement saying that one Bitcoin or 15 Bitcoin were transferred to this specific person. There's no trace of that because it's not an official bank.
But doesn't blockchain capture that ledger from Bitcoin to Bitcoin, but we still don't know who the person is?
Yeah.
So there is some form of...
There is. But to actually find out who made that transfer... Exactly. Because, I mean, otherwise the FBI would catch every single person operating on the dark web.
Sure. Okay, so...
It sounds like a lost cause, though. Like, at what point... we all pass the point of no return? Or is it just we can mitigate more in the future? Can you ever... you can't become a virgin again. Can we ever be safe again?
No. Because not with technology and how lazy we've become and how we are so reliant on technology. So I just did a Google search, and for one Bitcoin, it's 10,037 Rand.
Sweet.
So, I mean, which is...
10,000's gone up.
Yeah.
Nine and some
when
change.
I was here, I think I was here about 8 months ago. Then it was around 6,300 for one Bitcoin.
Wow.
So it's a great return, but it's not to say that it's not a legal currency. It is, and it's a great online cryptocurrency to use, you know, as opposed to PayPal or SnapScan. You know, there's so many options, so you don't have to invest in Bitcoin. It is a good investment, though. But are we ever going to be safe? No, because where there is good, there's always going to be evil. And the dark web was not created for evil purposes. Mm. It was created so people could share code anonymously and privately. So that was the whole intention of the dark web.
Okay.
But now, if you look at a graphical representation of an iceberg, 4% of the iceberg is the internet as we know it, and 96% is dark web, deep web. Exactly. So are we ever going to be safe? No.
So all we can do is just try to... exercise better decision making.
Exactly. And from a company's perspective, I mean, if you have an employee that happens to be disgruntled for whatever reason, they didn't get that promotion, somebody was hired over them, they didn't get that bonus that they wanted, what if that person intentionally tries to bring your company down by loading a virus or malware or spyware? Or what if it's an accident? What if I receive, in my Yahoo account, which are open in my office, which is against the company rules, but everybody does it, so whatever. Or Facebook is blocked on Internet Explorer, so I download Safari, so I can download Chrome so I can access Facebook. And I happened to pick up a virus that way. So it could be an error, but it could also be intentional. And, you know, we do, unfortunately, in South Africa, have that mentality of you wronged me, I'm going to make you suffer. So from a company,
I think that's a human global thing.
Exactly, exactly. From a company perspective, the only way that you can really mitigate your loss is by having a cyber insurance policy. And Holo does provide that. And it really is comprehensive cover for all costs associated with a breach.
Awesome. Okay. So in the future, speed, optimization, convenience should pay a second place to
That's exactly it. There was a survey, and I encourage you to read the Ponemon Institute has just released it.
Not the Ponemon.
Hold on a second.
Yes.
Because you're talking about Pokemon.
No, we weren't talking about Pokemon. No, wait, I said the P word.
Hold on. I kind of went silent for a second because remember we were talking about Pokemon Go and the Philly cheesesteak guys?
Yes.
They've just sent us lunch.
Yay!
That's what that whole thing was all about.
That's amazeballs.
The guys have just, after that thing, that show, Ponemon, Pokemon, the guy sent me a message saying, thanks for mentioning it on air, you know? And I said, no problem. He said, we need to send you lunch. I said, sounds good. Well, they've sent us lunch. So thanks, guys.
So sometimes sharing information does come through, but don't let them fool you.
You and your Wi-Fi doom. Okay, screw Pokemon.
Is it real food or virtual food?
No, we're going to actually chew it.
We're going to masticate and swallow all at the same time.
Good.
All the guys outside in the studio, leave food for us. It came for us, not for you, but you can share with us because sharing is caring. What is Ponemon?
What is Ponemon?
Okay, Ponemon is an institute that does specific cyber studies as well as anything information security related. So they've released a specific South African study, which is actually amazing because this is a problem with cybercrime in South Africa is how do you know who's been breached? Our legislation says if you are, as a company are breached, you don't have to tell your employees, you don't have to tell your clients, you don't have to tell your shareholders. So you can 100% keep that a secret. So how do you get actuarial data to actually base your statistics on? Or for an insurance perspective to actually underwrite a policy. How do you do that with no information available?
Yeah.
So now there is, which is amazing. And they've done this report based on 19 South African companies. And they say that the per capita cost, which is a per person cost for a breach, is 1,548 rand. So if you look at every single person that's walked through your doors, that's filled in a security clearance form, every single person you've ever hired, whether they are currently working there or ex-employees, every client as well as suppliers, I mean, take that amount of people. To get to an amount of 10,000 people would not be a difficult thing. You could do that in 6 months.
Yeah.
Times that amount by 1,548 rand per person is what it's going to cost you if your data is breached, if your company is hacked.
When you think about the consequences actually of that breach, that doesn't sound like a lot of money.
Dude, I think we start selling typewriters again. Seriously. Because like, if people listen to you, again, DD.
What's the cover going to be on a cow that's been connected?
Well, I mean, they're definitely...
Hold on a second. Exactly. If you've got 1,000 heads of cattle all carrying a device and sign and they get breached, let's reword that.
You can maybe make them all...
They get hacked.
But not with an axe.
Yeah. So think about this. Competitors hack competitors all the time. It happens all around the world.
Yeah.
Let's say somebody does happen to hack that dairy farm for whatever reason and cause those devices to malfunction. Then you have problems with septicemia.
You've got to watch
Farmed
and Dangerous.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, let's take a Samsung fridge, right? So Samsung fridges.
You went there.
Are coming to South Africa, they'll order your bread, order your milk, tell you when it's low, automatically send that order through to Pick and Pay.
Blow up the front door.
Yeah. It goes off your credit card, your groceries get delivered. So I am upset with you for whatever reason. Okay, so I intercept that and I say, I want you to order 1,000 2-liters of milk.
Holy crap.
Okay? Yeah, to play a trick.
That's just one person times 10.
Exactly.
100, 300.
Exactly. And this is the problem with children who are tech savvy is that they play these online tricks rather than what we had to do when we were little and running around ringing intercoms. You know, it's far easier to do an online sort of attack because you do it from the comfort of your home and you don't feel that risk or that danger associated with that. So I intercept a device in your home and I order 500 loaves of bread. Goes off your credit card. What do you do?
Well, on a positive note, yes. According to South African banking law, which I've used many times, yes. You have up to 180 days,
good.
No questions asked to reverse a credit card transaction.
Awesome.
I'm sure the banks are very unhappy that I've just mentioned that.
Exactly.
But it's true, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had issues where stuff's gone off. I've walked in, I've signed a form.
Yeah.
It's on my conscience, blah, 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 blah. And I sign, and that's it. Money gets reversed.
But now let's talk about credit card fraud. So somebody copies your credit card, you're driving through a toll gantry that you physically have to give your card to, and that person happens to make a copy of your credit card or at a restaurant. So what happened to me is I had a trip planned with my sister in America. She was living there at the time, and I had saved for a substantial amount of time to go and spend a month with her in America. I had called my bank and said, I will be in America from this date to this date.
Yeah,
please unlock.
I've had to do that as well.
Yeah. And I specifically got a travel wallet to try and be secure. I flew for 27 hours. Okay, finally got to America and I was feeling very fancy. Walking down the road, walked into my first Starbucks, gave them my card to purchase a coffee, and they said, oh, your card's not working. So I said, impossible. There's definitely funds on. Try again. Tried it again, not working. And they said, well, you can go to the ATM. It's about 6 blocks down the road. And I was like, well, I'm from South Africa, so how far is a block?
Yeah.
Anyway.
In New York, it's hell of a far.
It's far.
You'll find another 2 Starbucks
exactly,
on the way.
Exactly. So go to the ATM, try and withdraw money, and my card is empty. And it turns out that 4 months after I returned, yes, they refunded me my money, but it was a person that I'd spoken to in my bank to say, unlock my account. She is the person that emptied my account.
Unreal, huh? Mm. Dude, we have to wrap it up.
Oh, we really
no,
have time.
I know, it's mad. Believe. But please don't stay away from us so
awesome.
Long, because
yeah.
I think we could have hundreds. We could actually do like the monthly update with
yes.
Doctorate's Doom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dum, dum.
Dum, dum, dum.
Dum,
dum.
Dum, there we go. He's already at Whiskey Live. We're off there tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
I'm kilting up.
You're kilting
good
up.
Yeah, so anybody that sees us will be tweeting
that's
from Whiskey Live. We're going to be kilting up. And
We mentioned Whiskey.
Don't even
whiskey
talk about
the
security
app, and
kilt.
And boom, they've said come and have a dram. So we're doing it.
Awesome.
Candace, awesome to have
thank
you back.
Thank you.
Brett, the thought of the day.
Quick one, because we have to wrap up.
Yes.
While all this digital stuff is enabling us to live better and more convenient lives, we have got a lot of power in our hands. But, to quote Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. Take your security, take your information, be responsible with it. But have fun.
Well, that sounds fantastic. So, until next time, keep your screens clean and your knobs shiny.
This is CliffCentral.com.